If you're looking for the perfect church, you've come to the wrong place. Okay? I once heard someone say that if you ever find the perfect church, don't join it because you'll ruin it. Right? We're all people and we have our lives and our faults. And, you know, those of us who've been around church and been around this church, we know we're not perfect. We're a mess. Let me tell you how I came to this topic. The name of the message is The Church I Want to Go To. We were doing our staff meeting a few weeks ago, and we were reading out of 1 Peter 3. And I think we have it above us, but this is what it says. It says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessings, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. Father, I thank you that we don't try to live out a perfect life or a perfect church. And God, that we're just flawed human beings who come together to worship you. Lord, I just pray that this morning we would recognize who you are and the value of you and others in our life. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for us, who gives us purpose. In your son's name, amen. Amen. Sorry, I read that scripture. We were reading it in staff, and it just struck me. It just struck me. Those things that it just said, I remember sitting in staff, and we just got to unread that, and I wrote on my book, "That's the church I want to go to. That's the church I want to be a part of." Look what it says in the message. It says, "Be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble." That goes for all of you, no exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp tongue sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. You'll be a blessing, and you'll also get a blessing. Can I ask, did anybody have anybody say to them, "Be blessed" or "blessings" this morning when you came in this morning? Anybody? Somebody said it to me. Yes, they're back to raise their hand. They said to me, "Blessings on you." I thought, man, that's what the church is supposed to do. Blessings. Man, I want to be a part. And I got an old buddy that I used to work with. And he used to end every conversation, instead of goodbye, he'd say, "Be blessed." He'd just say, "Be blessed." And it became a habit in my life that I began saying, "Be blessed." And I realized in reading this scripture that I've gotten away from that a little bit. We should bless each other. We should be excited to be around each other, but we should be an encouragement to each other, should love each other and push each other forward towards God. These are some of the things it said. Be of one mind. Whew. See, right there, most of us are lost, aren't we? We all what we want when we want it, don't we? We want the worship to be a specific way. We want the teaching to be a specific way. We want the lights to be a specific way. We want the AC at a lower temperature. We want the chairs, more room, less room, closer to the front, further to the back, whatever it is, we want what we want. And God's word says that we're to be of one mind. And I know it's not talking about the intricate details of church, but we should be in one mind. That only one thing's important. Only one thing. Have compassion for one another. Are you compassionate to the people around you? Most of us get tired of people around us, don't we? We are fed up. We're worn out. Where's the compassion? Love as brothers. We should love each other as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Do not return evil for evil. Give out blessings because you are called to do this, to bless each other. I love that that way the message had it, that's your job, to bless. I do want to say right up front that we aren't a perfect church. We're not. We're filled with imperfect people, and we're trying to discover who God is and pursue him and follow him. And we have a tagline in our church. I don't know if you've noticed it's on your bulletin. I brought one up here just for that. On the very bottom, it says, real people, real life, real God. You ever thought about what that means? You know what real people means to me? Real people means that it doesn't matter who you are. You need to be able to come to church and worship God in all your brokenness, whether you're financially set or whether you are destitute financially, whether you have clean clothes or your filthy clothes. If you remember our last location, many of you are new. You guys weren't with us in our last location. We were located in a place right next to a very large homeless camp. And they would come to our office almost daily. And they got their mail at our church. We allowed them to receive their mail. They didn't have an address. So they would come pick up their mail from our facility. And there were times they would come in and they would sometimes be drunk. Sometimes they would be just angry. Sometimes they're happy. All stuff, it didn't matter. Our call is to love each other, right? And sometimes they would come to church. Sometimes they'd even be disruptive. Sometimes they smelled, right? Does it matter? When that becomes more important than the truth of the gospel of Jesus, we are wrong. We're wrong. See, Pastor put down, and I wasn't here in the days when he put down real people, real lives, real God. And I don't know what he's thinking. I've never sat down with him, but I decided I would look through that and what that means for me in our church. Because the truth is, if you're looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find it. But this is who we strive to be. That we would be able to take our masks off, take off our pretense, and be real. How cool would that be to be in a church like that, right? Where people can say, I'm hurting. I just need someone to love me. I need someone to pray for me. We're real people. You know what's interesting? John 3:16 that most of us know, right? For God so loved the world. See, if you just stop there. For God so loved the world and all its people in it. That doesn't just say, for God so loved all the good people, all the people who are nice and gentle and kind. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, they'd have everlasting life. And it goes on to my favorite verse in the entire Bible. But God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it through Jesus. That's why Jesus was sent. See, God loves people. God cares about people, and as a church, we need to care about people, right? We need to care. We need to be compassionate. Real lives. This one I feel like I talk all the time on. We are broken, aren't we? Is anybody in here got it together and perfect? Because I want to meet you. Because I've never actually met. It's really interesting for me as a pastor when I meet people who ask to come in and talk. Usually when someone asks to come in and talk to us, something has happened and their life is falling apart. That's usually when people come talk to myself or Pastor Leonard. Rarely do they ask to have a meeting because life is going so good and they just want to share it with someone. That usually doesn't happen that way. It's never happened to me that way. What happens is when we hit rock bottom and things are difficult and our lives are falling apart, that's when we reach out. See, the truth is, I end up telling every one of those people, because everybody feels like they're all alone, I'm the only one going through what I'm going through. I'm the only one struggling with this sin. I'm the only one who's blown it this way. And it's almost humorous to me, because I want to somehow get into their head the hundreds of other people who have come to me for the exact same thing. See, the church is filled with broken people who are hurting. We have real lives. See, real lives mean that you have to live in this world, and you have to walk in this world, and you have to experience things. Let me tell you some of the things that are going on right now. Well, I got to find it. We have people who are going through some huge life changes, and I can't really say things because they want it private. But there's some huge things going on right now. Right now, today, we have people in our church that are having enormous life-changing things happening in their lives. We have people going through divorce and marriage difficulties, and it's not one or two. It's 10 or 20 that are going through incredibly difficult marriage situations. We have people in here who are new parents. How many of you guys, I don't want to ask this, I'm looking around, I can see your ages. Most of us in this room have had kids or have kids, and it is quite a job. And that first one, man, I wish I could go back and redo number one after number three. You know what I mean? You learn so much between one, two, and three in my house. Jordan, I'm sorry, buddy. I should probably apologize to him every day for the rest of his life, because we are clueless. We are clueless. And the help we get from others is usually pointing fingers instead of helping, isn't it? We have people going through those situations right here in this building. We have people who are going through job crisis. We have people who don't have a job at all, need a job, need help, need prayer, need encouragement, may need financial help. We have people who are going through family crises. They have either a death or elderly. My wife right now is in Missouri taking care of her mom and dad, who are both going through Alzheimer's right now. And her sister takes care of them, and her sister had sepsis. And it's a life-threatening thing. And so that whole mix of stuff, so she went there to try to help and just be a part of it. We have people going through hard things. I had a young lady this week. Actually, she didn't call me. I got an unusual numbered phone call from someone. And this lady says to me, "Is this Coach O'Boyle?" I say, "Yes." She says, "Well, I just calling you to let you know that a girl who's coming up to Johnson University from down south, her dad just died suddenly. 17 years old. She lost her dad." People are going through stuff all the time. See, we're a church that are filled with people with real lives. And if we close our eyes and our minds to what God has for us, we're completely missing what He has for us. Let me read it again. Be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. That goes for all of you. No exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp tongue sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. This is what it looks like to me. Stop criticizing and start helping. Gosh, it's so much easier to criticize, isn't it? So much easier to just point out someone else's faults. Easy. I can step back and just, I'm an expert at it, guys. I'll just be honest. Step back, look at it, say, "Well, I would do this different, I'd do this different, I'd do this different," and just you point your fingers. And we need to stop as a church, I'm talking, as a church, stop criticizing. Start helping. Stop arguing and start listening. Some of us, I have a couple friends in this room who we love to argue. We call it debate, but we like it. It engages our mind in a way that it's enjoyable. I love it. But you know what? I need to close my mouth and hear people, because that's what love is. I'm not saying there's not a place to have healthy debate. I'm saying that most time within the body of Christ, we need to close our mouth and listen to people. Stop pointing fingers and have compassion. I think we get that, don't we? We're not very good at it, right? But we understand what that is. Stop being selfish. Begin looking out for others and the needs they have. Man, if we could just get that. When someone is hurting, find a way to help. And some of you, I will tell you this right now, some of you are amazing at that. I see compassion in your life. I see you reaching out, caring for people, stepping out of your way to help people in need and hurting. When someone is down, go cheer them up. There's a song that kind of dates me and my family, but we love this song by FM Static. It's called Crazy Mary. Great song. This is the lyrics. It says, Crazy Mary's a slow girl who looks up to no one, would do anything for a cold one. It tells us a lot about her right there, doesn't it? Wishes she could find her way home. Got the look on her face and the stare of a ray gun. We walk by every day and I wish there was something I could do. First of all, that's the right attitude. When we see people hurting, what do? I remember when I was at Cornerstone years ago and we had a very large youth group, and I used to tell my workers all the time, the bigger the problem, okay, the bigger the problem or disruption or the issue they were causing, the bigger the hurt and the wound, okay? So when somebody comes in, and we had hundreds of kids coming, when they would come in and be disruptive and loud and fighting or whatever it might be, remember, the bigger the disruption, the bigger the hurt and wound they have. See, if we can look past the outside thing that irritates us and see that people are hurting and they need your love. Second verse says, she watches the world pass her by like a freight train, and they all call her the same name, laughing as they point and stare at her. So she cries to God up in heaven, been praying since she was 11, for him to send someone to meet her there. And the chorus is kind of silly. Maybe if I took a little time to talk, then she'd heal a little if she wants to. And he goes, if I shake a little, be silly, maybe she'll laugh a little. There's a key to the door that she's hiding behind. All it is compassion, caring about people. Jesus said this when he was asked what the most important command was. He said this in Matthew 22. It says, Jesus said to them after they asked, the Pharisee asked him, he says, what is the most important? He said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Some translation says it's equal with it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws. Love God with all your heart, your soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor as yourself may mean you need to step out of your comfort to help someone else. We don't like that. Real God, I got to keep moving because I could stay on that one. I could literally speak on that for weeks because I think as a church, we need to care about the lives of people around us. The greatest blessing I find in being a Christian and part of a church community, the reason I feel like you should go to a church, the same church for a long time and be a part of it, maybe a lifetime, is so people can walk with you and you can walk with other people. Instead of stepping out of church, stepping out of their lives because you disagree or whatever, because life isn't going the way you want or the church isn't. That's how I feel. I feel like you go to a church so you could live life together, so you could fail and people will love you, so you can go through crisis and people will help you, and then so you can help others when they're walking through that. See, the church isn't just about what you can get. It's about what you can give and be a part of. And if you're a part of a church long enough, you get to experience some of the coolest things ever. The greatest joys in my life have all been happening and have all have happened within the church, within the body of Christ. I remember talking to teenagers for years, telling them, people say, well, why would I come to church? Let me tell you something. I've got to do some of the greatest things in my life all because of what being a part of a church. Being part of a family. People who care about me. My crisis, they've walked through things. My blessings, they've celebrated with me. The things I'm excited about, they get excited about. And you know what else? I've gotten to do that with a lot of other people who've also went through some really hard things. Life is hard. Third thing is that we serve and we're about a real God. See, a lot of people try to make God this far away idea. See, a matter of fact, I do probably too much reading of what the world has to say. And they try to sell Christianity as a crutch, right? Well, if you were a stronger person, then you wouldn't be involved in this religiousness. But because you're weak, you need this faraway idea or principle to lean on because you're weak. If you were strong, you wouldn't need religion and you wouldn't need this thing you come to. It's just a crutch for your life. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but I've heard that a lot. And all I want to do is I want to say, man, you have no idea. You have no idea because this God lives in me. I experience it. It isn't some far off thought. It isn't an idea or an ideal that I'm pursuing. It's in me. Let me read this. This is a very old, I shouldn't say very old. I think it's 100 years oldish. Okay, how about that? This is a song. And many of you will recognize it because you've been in church a long time. It says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him. The help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good, and kind. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. See, we believe in a real God. Not a story. Not a historical figure. We believe that God sent his son Jesus to live and to die. We believe that. That's what this church believes. We believe that Jesus' death was God's plan to pay for me and you, our rebellious hearts, and our sins. He paid that in order that we could have eternal life with him. The blood on the cross, that's why we always have this cross up there. The blood on the cross was a payment for our failures and our sins, if we accept it. We believe God is real. God calls us to follow him and his word. See, that's different than believing a theory, an idea of something that's out there. We believe that God calls us to follow him now. We believe that God lives inside us. That God's presence through the Holy Spirit lives inside us. See, we believe that it's more than a story and a book. And that book is really important. Because how are we supposed to know what God wants for us if we don't know what his word says? Because it's his words to us. So we have his truth, his principles, his word. We need to know what that is. But we have something even greater than his word. We have his presence inside us that helps us understand his word. Understand how to live our life, to walk. He lives in me. What kind of church do you want to be a part of? Is it more important what the temperature is? That can be distracting sometimes. It was a hot Sunday that one Sunday, wasn't it? It's not more important. It's reality. Is it more important how far the seats are apart from each other? Is it more important how loud the music is? Guys, if the music's too loud, scoot to the back. Okay? Come to worship God. You know what the hardest thing and the scariest thing about all this is? We are the church. It's not a building. It's not some place you go. Church is us. I hope as we've, in the last few months, we've seen so many new people come here. So many people just, I don't know, you're checking it out. If you're looking for that perfect church, we're not it. Let's get out of the way. Forget that. Quit looking for that. We're not the perfect church. But our goal is that we'd be real. Made up of real people. Who have real lives that go through hard things. That follow, pursue, and chase a real God. That's who we are. Unapologetically, we're here to worship him. We're here to know him. We're here to trust him when our life circumstances don't seem to match up with what his word says. Let that sink in. See, in my life, I feel like I need to do this or do this, but his word says to trust him and do this, and they don't match sometimes. And I need to step out and just trust him that what his word says is actually what's best for me. We need to quit looking through our eyes and look through the filter of the cross.
See, it changed everything. Changed everything. Your life circumstance, which I don't know what it is, could be horrific, could be terrible. And the hardest thing that you may need to do is trust God in what His Word says. Even if it's against everything your selfish person says to do for your own benefit and survival. You know what I mean? There are people who've gone to their death because they chose to follow God and what His Word says. Why would they do that? Because they know He lives. They know the bottom line is that God loves them, and God loves you. And that even though His Word sometimes tells us to do hard things, it's because He loves us. He cares about you. And I hope that when you come into a service like this, the people around you will bless your life. And you need to hold me accountable, Pastor Leonard. We need to be blessing your life as we live it together. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that, first of all, you're a gracious God. You're merciful. You're forgiving. Father, you paid a great cost for our life. So, Lord, I just pray that we would truly begin to understand what that feels like and what it means. Lord, help us as a church family that we would stop being judgmental, that we'd stop pointing fingers or trying to compare. Father, that we would have open hearts and a tremendous amount of love for others around us. Lord, I pray that we'd look around within this body, this family, and we'd look how we could possibly help and love on others who are hurting. And God, I just pray that we would get so good at loving others that we would step out of this building and we would look for others outside of this building to love, to show compassion and mercy. Father, I just pray that we would be real, that we would be honest, that when we fail, when we mess up, we'd ask forgiveness and we'd get up and ask for help for someone to walk alongside us. Father, thank you for your Son. There's no way any of us could get this or understand this without what was done on the cross. So we thank you for that. Father, I just pray blessings on this congregation. Father, I pray that you would bless their lives in such a way that it just overflows and they're able to bless those around them. Help us to be a church that blesses people and blesses each other. Thank you once again for Heart Cry Chapel. Help us to be effective in ministering your light to others. In your Son's name. And all God's people said, amen. See, we need to not just be hearers of the word. We need to be doers of the word. It's not about us, right? It's offering time. Amen. Amen. The ushers would come forward. We're going to take our offering at this time.